Okay, today's daf is Bavmetzia, daf Samach Aleph. We left off on daf Samach on the Beis right after the Mishnah. So we started days of Neshach, one of the more difficult prakim in Shas, one of the more difficult prakim in Maseches Bavmetzia. Says the Gemara, Midashavik l'ribis da'raisa v'kamifarish t'rabbanan, mechal da'raisa d'neshach v'tarbis chadimilsihi. When the Mishnah goes on to describe tarbis, right, it first describes what Neshach is, and it gives classic examples of what you would imagine ribis would be. Your malva sela behedinarim, which is uneven amounts of money. Sasayim chitim b'shalosh, uneven amounts of produce. But then it goes on to tarbis, and it gives a whole complicated case. So from the fact that when it discusses tarbis, it leaves aside the classic cases of ribis d'oraisa, and instead starts discussing fluctuations in price, and moving on to what seems to be ribis d'rabbanan. So the implication is that when the Torah uses the word tarbis, it really, Neshach and Tarbis are really the same thing. The Neshach and Tarbis on a Daraisa level are really the same thing. And when the Mishnah discusses Tarbis, it just throws in the Rabbanans as well. But on a Daraisa level, they really have the same definition. But ask the Gemara, is that possible that they mean the same thing on a Torah level? Because after all, when the Pasuk describes Neshach, it does so in terms of money. And when it describes Ribis, it does so in terms of food, not in terms of money. So says Mara, is it possible to have one without the other? Meaning, are they not definitionally the same? Is it possible to have ribis without neshach, neshach without ribis? Now keep in mind, I think we mentioned yesterday, when we say ribis, the focus is on the lender, the guy making money, that he's increasing his net worth. When we say neshech, the focus is on the victim, or the borrower, the person who's losing money, that it's biting away at him. So is it possible that one guy is violating ribis, that he's gaining unlawfully without having neshech on the other guy? Or is it possible that one guy is losing unlawfully, that he's having neshech without having ribis on the person who's gaining the money? So it says, neshech below sarbis echidami. What would be a case where you have neshech without tarbis? If I lend you 100 on the condition that you pay me back 120, so may karakai mi meya bedanka, and initially 100 was worth a danka of silver, right, which is a silver coin, and then at the end, by the time you pay it back, the prices of the copper have fluctuated, and now the 120 copper pieces are worth one danka of silver. So neshech ika dekanachesle dekashakel mine midi delo yahiv. So then that would be neshech, because after all, the guy is paying back more than he took. He only took 100. He's giving back 120. The tarbis leka, but maybe that's not called tarbis, because bottom line, the less they ravcha, the danka was favored danka kashakel mine. In terms of actual monetary value of what was given, the lender is not actually making any money. He lent something that was worth a danka of silver, and we always look in terms of silver for monetary value. He got back exactly a danka of silver. Sof, ibasar meyikar azalta hare neshech vare tarbis. Says the Gemara, but that's not really an example of having a neshech without tarbis, because after all, if you're going to look at the prices at the time where the loan was originally made, so it's both neshech and tarbis, because at the time the loan was originally made, the 100 prutos were worth a danka, and he paid back 120 prutos. Ibasar b'sof azalta, if you're only going to look at the time that it gets paid back, lo neshechika velo tarbisika, then you have neither neshech nor tarbis. Then you get paid back fair value. Visu tarbis below neshech echidami. So maybe you couldn't come up with a case where you have neshech without tarbis. Maybe you can come up with the reverse. So what would be a case of tarbis without neshech? Ida ozev meya b'meya, meikar kaim meya b'danka, ulbsov meya b'chumsha. Maybe the case is where I give you 100 in exchange that you're going to give me back exactly 100. So it's going to be even. The only thing is, originally when I gave you the 100 are worth a danka, which is 1/6 of a dinar zahav. And at the end, when you pay it back, the 100 is worth a chumsho, which is 1/5 of a dinar zav. So the prices went up. The copper went up in value. So yibasa meyikara azalta lo neshechika velo tarbisika. So says Gemara again, if you look at the time where the loan was made, it's neither neshech nor tarbis. Yibasa sof azalta hare neshech vehare tarbis. And if you look at the end, so then it's both neshech and tarbis. So you can't say that it's that you have one without the other, they have neshech without tarbis, or tarbis without neshech. halacha lemaisa, the Gemara never discusses or never mentions what are we actually paskin? Do we go basar meikara? Do we go basar basov? Meaning in these cases, would you have ribis daraisa? Would you not have ribis daraisa? Do we go basar meikara? Would you have in the first case yes, second case no, or vice versa? So that's machlokas rishonim. The Ritva writes that the Gemara never says what the halacha is, whether we go basar meikara basar basov, and therefore he says v'nira pashut that you would go basar meikara. Since the pasuk says lo sasimin alav nashach, we see that everything is dependent on the time of the halva'a when they make the deal to pay back with ribis. And the raya that he has is that the Gemara is going to say that sa'a b'sa'a is asmid rabbanan. That if I give you produce for the and the deal is that you're supposed to pay me back, that same volume of produce, even if price fluctuates, that's only asmid rabbanan. But if we went basal basof, if on a daraisa level, the halacha war, that you look at the time of payback, so then that would be ribis min haTorah. If the price fluctuated, it would be ribis daraisa, because look, when he's paying back, it's worth a different value. So says the Ritva, that's a raya that midaraisa we go basar meikara. That goes Ashri and the Mordechai say that since the Gemara's question of whether we go basar meikara basar b'sof is nibayid lov shita, he says they both say yesh lahachmir misafek. If you give him meya b'meya v'esrim and the meya v'esrim now is worth only meya, you shouldn't take more than meya. Meaning we go luchumra in either direction. Shulchan Aruch says la halacha we follow most rishonim that you go basar meikara, and therefore if he gave him 100 for meya v'esrim and then it went down in value, so it's asim in haTorah, and if it was meya b'meya and it went up in value, it's asim midrabanan. That really we go basar meikara, not basar b'sof. So the Gemara never mentions what the halacha is. So it's just worthwhile to mention it. Says the Gemara weiter. Ella Amar Rava, Iyata Motzi Lo Neshech Belo Tarbis, Belo Tarbis Belo Neshech. You don't find one without the other. It's impossible to have Neshech without Tarbis, impossible to have Tarbis without Neshech. Velo Chil Kanakos of Ay, so why does the Torah tell me two separate Yisurim of Ribis and Neshech? Ella Lavar Lav B'Shnei Lavin. The reason the Torah distinguishes is just to tell me that you violate two separate Lavin for these Yisurim. If you look at Tosos, Lama Chilka Makasav Lavar Lav B'Shnei Lavin, V'in Tomar V'lama Shina B'Lashon. Why then does the Torah have to give me two separate Lashonos? Lichtov Kaspecha Lositein B'Neshech U'B'Neshech Lositein Achlecha. Why invent a new word? Why have a word Ribis? If Neshech and Ribis are really the same thing, and it just wants to tell me two separate Lavin, as long as you have the word Lo twice, that's fine. Why do you have to come up with a new word? So it says Tosos, Yishlomar Kivin Shulchuk Shnei Lavin Urcha Dekra Lichtov Lashon Meshuna Shuna Yoser. It's like a Shufra Delishna type of thing. It makes it a nicer Lashon when it's not repetitive. When I first got the job in Shari as the assistant rabbi, so I asked, I had a friend of mine come to hear me speak, to critique me. So it's not good to ask Balabatim to critique you, I was told. So I asked a friend of mine to come. So he said, you always use the same words over and over again because of a limited vocabulary. So he said, you're using the same words constantly. And that's sure for the Lishna, it just doesn't sound as nice as when you're able to substitute other words. So the Torah follows that rule as well, even if I never learned my lesson. Says the Gemara Vayter, Tan Rabbanan, Es kaspcha lo sitein lo b'neshech v'marbis lo sitein achlecha. That's what the Pasuk says. Ein li al neshech b'kesef v'ribis ba'ochel. I only know from there that there's a din of neshech on kesef and ribis on ochel, on food. Neshech ba'ochel minayin. How do I know that the isra of neshech applies to food as well? Wait a second, we just said neshech and ribis are the same thing. So what do you mean? How do I know neshech applies to ochel? If ribis applies to ochel, Ribis is just another word for neshech. So Rashi explains, "Ein li she over ella alav shel neshech bekesef alav shel ribis bochel minayin shu over al halva asperos af mishum lav de neshech." Meaning, we just said it's two lavin. Is lav or lav b'shnei lavin? How do I know that if I lend peros with ribis, that I'm in violation of both lavin? How do I know that when I lend money by ribis, I'm in violation of both lavin? So Talmud Lomar Neshech Ochel. That's why it says Neshech Ochel, to tell me that there's a violation of Neshech when it's food as well. Ribis bekesef minayin. How do I know that there's a violation of ribis with kesef? Talmud Lomar Neshech Kesef, because it says Neshech Kesef. Wait a second, it says Neshech Kesef, it doesn't say Ribis Kesef, but it may not mean the Neshech Kesef, Sharei Kvar Ne'emar Lo Sashech Lachicha. We don't need the pasuk to teach me a din of neshech and kesef because we already have another pasuk to do it, and therefore one of the middles that we use is imeinu inyan, that if you have a phrase that's not necessary to teach its own halacha, we apply it elsewhere to teach a different halacha. Now, what's the seder hadvarim over here? Initially, we wanted to know how we know that neshech applies to ochel. And then we asked how we know that ribis applies to kesef. Now, if you look at the pasuk says, "Lo sashich la'achicha neshech kesef, neshech ochel, neshech kol davar asher yishach." So, which phrase came first, neshech kesef or neshech ochel? In the pasuk, neshech kesef comes before neshech ochel. When the Gemara darshins it, the Gemara first darshins neshech ochel, and then darshins neshech kesef. So Tosfos is bothered by this. Why not darshan the pasuk in order? V'im tomar tchila havalei l'midrash ribis bekesef demapik lei min neshech kesef hakasuf bereisha. We first should have darshaned that the issur of ribis applies to kesef, which we derive from the phrase neshech kesef, which comes first in the pasuk. V'yesh lomar mishum de neshech ochel ksiv behedya v'ribis kesef lo nafik ala b'meino inyin. So he says, no, first we darshan not in order of the pasuk, but in what's most obvious in the pasuk. And since the phrase neshech ochel teaches us that there's a din of neshech on ochel, so it's the most obvious, it's the most straightforward, that's what we're going to darshan first. That ribis applies to kesef, we only darshan from imeinu inyan, meaning there is no phrase that really says ribis kesef. We use it in imeinu inyan. So to apply such a drasha, which is not at all straightforward in the pasuk, we do delay in terms of delving and into the pasuk that deeply to derive such a drasha. Says the Gemara Vayter, Ein li ela belove b'malva minayin. I only know so far that there's an isser on the borrower. How do I know that there's an isser on the lender as well? So nemar neshach belove v'nemar neshach b'malva. It says neshach by both. Ma neshach amar belove lo chilak to b'bim kasev b'im b'ochel b'im neshach b'im b'ribis. Just like when it comes to the borrower, the Torah does not distinguish between food and money and neshach and ribis, af neshach ha'amor b'malveh lo tachlo bo b'im b'kesef b'im b'ochel b'im neshach b'im b'ribis. So we don't have any such distinctions when it comes to the lender either. Minayin l'rabos kol davar, how do I know to include everything, meaning not just ochel and not just kesef, but that everything is included, all other products are included in the isra of ribis. Tavolomer neshech kol davar asher yishach. From a riboy of the pasuk, kol davar, that everything's included. The Mishnah Lemelech in Hilchos Malva Velova Perek Dalid, Halacha Aleph asks, don't we have a halacha throughout Kala Torah Kula that Shava Kesef has the same din as Kesef? Right? We say in Isha's Miskadashas Bekesef, and Shava Kesef works as well. We weren't Mekadesh our wives with Kesef. We use Shava Kesef. We use the ring, which is Shava Kesef. So we have a din of Kala Torah Kula. Shava Kesef always has a din of Kesef. Why does the Gemara need a separate pasuk over here to tell me that Shava Kesef has a din of Kesef? That if you use other things that have value, that's also called, that would also be included in the issur of ribis on money. So the Mishnah Lemelech gives two possible answers. First of all, he says it could be that the Gemara is a havamina, that since the Torah specifies kesef and ochel, that the issur ribis is only noeg on kesef and ochel. Because if shava kesef were like kesef, it would not have had to give two examples. It could have just said kesef, and I would know everything that's shava kesef is included in kesef, meaning ochel is also shava kesef. From the fact that it gave two examples may imply that it's not simply a din in shava kesef, that it's dafka these two examples. Second, he says that since the Torah had not had this extra riboy of kol davar asher yishach, so then what would the pasuk have said? We would have read the pasuk the way we normally darshan a pasuk, that it's a klal uprat. It says lo sashech l'achicha, that's klal, kesef v'ochel prat, and whenever you have a klal uprat and there's no further klal afterwards, a regular klal uprat, ein b'chlal l'mashim b'prat. The klal is limited to what's in the prat. So I would have said just by the midrash haTorah and the drashas ban, that it's dafka talking about kesef and ochel and nothing else. That's why we need a special riboy in the pasuk to tell me that it comes to include everything else as well. Ravina Amar, back in the Gemara, Ravina Amar, when it comes to the malve, when it comes to the lender, lo neshach ba'ochel v'lo ribis b'kesef tzrichi krai. We don't need psukim to teach me that neshach applies to ochel and ribis to kesef. Diksiv es kaspecha lo sitin lo b'neshach v'achlecha lo sitin b'marbis k'deka amrit. Had the pasuk been phrased in that way, that it divided into two clear, distinct phrases, es kaspecha lo sitin lo b'neshach, period, v'achlecha lo sitin b'marbis, right, had it divided into two distinct phrases, then you're right, your drasha would have been necessary to link the malva to the lova, gzereshava, and to tell me whatever applies to the lova applies to the malva. But hashta dichsiv, but now that the pasuk does not phrase it quite that way, what does the pasuk say? Es kaspecha lo sitin lo b'neshach, notice the words neshech and marbis come consecutively, one right after the other. So the kari behachi, it's possible to read the pasuk as follows: es kaspecha lo sitin lo b'neshech u'b'marbis, meaning put the comma after marbis. So the word marbis might be in the first phrase of the pasuk, and then when you read the second half of the pasuk, move the comma back a couple of words and read it from u'b'neshech. From the fact that the words b'neshach u'b'marbis are smack in the middle of the pasuk, is there to show you that those words go on both of those words go on the first half of the pasuk, and both of them go on the second half of the pasuk. So you don't need any fancy drasha to tell me that both neshach and marbis apply to both ochel and kesef. Had the pasuk been written in two distinct phrases, where neshach was clearly going on only the first half, and marbis was clearly only going on the second half, so then ain't a chinami. You need a drasha to tell me that they apply to both. But since the words neshach and marbis appear consecutively right in the middle of the pasuk, we can easily just apply both of those words to the first half, and both to the second half, and you don't need any fancy drashas. Tulsa says we have a very similar drasha in Maseches Kiddushin. In Kiddushin Lamed Beis, the Gemara says that Mipnei Seva Takum Vadarta Pnei Zaken, right? So the phrase Takum and then Vahadarta, right, are those two separate Chiyuvim. So the way the Gemara wants to darshan in the Pasuk is Mipnei Seva Takum Vadarta and Takum Vadarta Pnei Zaken, that the words Takum Vadarta go on both. In fact, Tosfos asks over here in Dibur Maskel Kari, Vim Tamar Perakami the Kedushin Lo Ba'u Rabbanon Lemidrash Krabi Yosei Aglili Mimrei Seva Takum Vadarta Takum Vadarta Pnei Zaken. The Rabbanon didn't want a darshan like Rabbi Yosei Aglili to apply the phrase Takum Vadarta to both Mipnei Seva and Zaken, to apply the middle phrase to both the beginning and the end of the pasuk. So why over here the Rabbanon excited to do it? That sakum doesn't really fit with the words pnei zaken. Sakum pnei zaken, meaning the word sakum means stand up. Pnei zaken on the face of zaken. Vahadarta pnei zaken makes Hebrew sense. But the word takum doesn't make sense on the word pnei, right? You stand, mipnei seva takum, but it makes sense. But takum apnei zakein doesn't make any sense. So since it doesn't make grammatical sense to apply it to both halves of the pasuk, that's why there was a hesitance to do so. But over here, where neshach and marbis could apply equally to kesef and to ochel, so there's no hesitancy to do so on Ravina's part. So frankly, Gemara v'atana nemar kamar. But after all, the Gemara does have a gzeirah shava, the Braisa does have a gzeirah shava. So what's Ravina doing? He's telling me I don't need a gzeirah shava. What are you going to do with the gzeirah shava? So hachi kamar, ilu lo nemar kra, yisi yomar gzeirah shava. Had I not had a pasuk, yes, then I would have applied a gzeirah shava to teach me that all these halachas apply to the malva as well. But now that we have the pasuk, we don't need a gzeir shava. So says the Gemara, but you can't just throw away a gzeir shava. El gzeir shava lamali. You have to use the gzeir shava for something. So what do you need the gzeir shava for? So answers the Gemara, l'neshech kal davar asher yishach to lokasav b'malve. You need the gzeir shava to teach me that the isser of neshech applies to everything. That it applies to not just kesef and ochel, but to everything else as well. Good. So now Tosfos bothered. Wait a second. If we had the Gezeirah Shavah, why would we need the pasuk to tell it to me? I mean, once there is a Gezeirah Shavah, why does the Torah waste words on having a pasuk say it to me? Vim Tomar Kra Lamali, Tosfos asks. So Tosfos says, no, it's not an Arichus Lashon. These aren't any extra words because it's just the way the Torah phrased the pasuk by having Neshech next to Marbis. That's all it did. But it's not an Arichus Lashon that's teaching me anything. So therefore it's not a problem that the Torah went out of its way to say extra words. The implication is that anything that we would have had a Gezeirah Shavah for, it's a total waste of time for the Torah to add words for, which is a very questionable assertion. After all, Prima Gadim writes, and this seems to be fairly widely accepted, that there are differences between Dinim Da'araisa that are Mefurish in a pasuk and Dinim Da'araisa that are only derived from Drashos, like a Gezeirah Shavah. That a Din Da'araisa that's Mefurish in a pasuk is stronger than a Din Da'araisa that's only derived from a Gezeirah Shavah. But okay, but that's Tosfos seems to imply otherwise. Amar Rava, Lamali Dekatzav Rachman Alav B'Ribis Lav B'Gezel Lav B'Ona. Why do I need three separate Isurim in the Torah? One for Ribis, one for Gezel, one for Ona. Aren't they all the same idea? Don't take money that's not yours. Right, so why do I need three separate Isurim? Can't I figure out one from the others? So Tzrichi, Dikas Rachman Alav B'Ribis. How do we only had Alav B'Ribis? Mishum Dechidesh Udafilu B'Lova Asra Rachmana. I would say that Ribis is unique in that it's even an Isra on the borrower. It's even Asra on the victim. But Gezel, there's no Isra on the victim. Ona, there's no Isra on the victim. So Vikas Rachman Alav B'Gezel. Had I only had Alav B'Gezel, I would say, yeah, that's unique. Mishum Debal Karche. Because Gezel happens against the guy's will. Aval Ona, aim low. But Ona is not happening Bal Karche. He's entering into the deal. He's just getting ripped off. Right? Ribis not happening Bal Karche. He's entering into the deal and he's just agreeing to a Ribis deal. Vikas Rachman Alav B'Ona. And had it only told me the Yisr by Ona, Mishum Telo Yada Demachil. It's because the guy's really being fooled. But by Gezel and by Ribis, he's not being fooled. He knows exactly what's going on. Says, okay, we've demonstrated very clearly that you can't derive any one of these from any one of the others. But why can't we derive one from two of them? Why can't the Torah just tell me two of these Isurim and I'll derive the third one? So it says, well, hey Tesi, which one do you want to leave out? Would you like the Torah to not say anything about Ribis and derive it from Ona and Gezel? Malahanach Shekein Shalomidas. But Ona and Gezel are both Shalomidas, Tomer Beribis Timidaite. Ribis is with the person's consent and the person's knowledge. So Lolich of Rachman, so you can't derive Ribis from the other two. The other two have a special Chumrah that Ribis does not have. Lolich of Rachman Alav Ba'Ona V'Teis Me'anach. So you want to leave out Ona'a and derive it from Gezel and Ribis? But Malahanach Shekein Ein Derech Mechach Memker B'Kach. Gezel and Ribis are not the normal standard Mechach Memker. It's not in the course of normal standard business. It is normal standard business for people to get ripped off sometimes. If I see that the customer is desperate, it's normal that he's willing to pay more than he knows something is worth. He knows that when he goes to the ball game, a cup of soda should not cost $5.50, right? But he knows that he's thirsty and that's what you get. Well, that's what you got to do. You can't bring your own, and that's what you have to do. So he's willing to pay that. So what? You want the Torah to not say the lav begezel and derive it from the other two? Demai parachta, because then what could the pircha be? Mal ribis shekein chiddush. What? You want to say that ribis is unique because it's a chiddush? Ona tochiach. Ona is also a chiddush. Ona is not a chiddush, and you see that we still have an issue there. Mal ona shekein lo yado machil. You want to say that ona is unique because the guy doesn't know to be mochel? Ribis tochiach. By ribis he knows, and we see that the issur applies. So v'chazradin lo rizak rizav lo rizak rizav etzal shavsh ben shekein gozlo afani avi gezel. So if we have Ona and Ribis, the Torah should not have to mention Gezel. We should be able to derive Gezel from the combination of Ona and Ribis. Big fat question mark. So answers the Gemara, Amri, Hachinami. You're right, the Torah doesn't have to say Gezel. Really? Elav b'Gezel amali. So then why does the Torah say Gezel? The Kovish Scharsachir, the Yisr of Gezel is not for real Gezel. The Yisr of Gezel is in the Torah to teach me the din of Kovish Scharsachir, that if you don't, that you have to pay your workers on time. Now, says Tosos, Amri Hachinami, we say Enachinami, you don't need the Yisr of Gezel, Vim Tomar, Va'ein Masirin Minadin. So isn't this Masir Min Adin? Isn't this, aren't we giving the Isser based on a Limud, which is Masir Min Adin? V'yishlomar degeze laf anitik la'aseihu k'damim parak shloch hakan. V'itam dein Masir Min Adin av matzal meim la'el t'li alfi me'adadi el da'adif ha'kamar ta'afilu midin lo'asi. Meaning, Gezel, he says, is a lavanita klasei. So anyway, it's not going to be subject to Malkus. So we don't have a problem of a Masir Min Adin, because that's only an issue when it comes to giving Malkus. Next, Tosos, El Lav de Gezel Lamali, the Kovish Schar Sachir, says, the Im Tomar, Velukmi, Begezel Gufe, Begezel Avadim, Delosi Miribis Vot Na, Deinon Al Avadim, Kedakarmela El, Dakarka in the Gzalas. He says, I don't understand why we simply don't say that the Yisra of Gezel is to teach you about Avadim. You can't derive Gezel on Avadim from Ribis and Ona'a, because Ona'a is not Shaykh to Avadim. There's no such din of Ona'a on Avadim. So granted, from Karka you may not have a raya, but from Ona'a, from Avadim we do have a raya. So why don't we use the term Lo Sigzal in the Torah to teach me the din of Gezel on Avadim? So he leaves it as a kasha. Kovish Chasachi Behedik Sevei. But anyway, back in the Gemara, the Gemara says, wait a second, how can you tell me Lo Sigzal comes to teach me Kovish Chasachir? Kovish Chasachir is Beferish in the Pasuk. Lo Sasuk Sachir Ani Ve'evyon. It says Beferish that you're not allowed to abuse your employees by withholding payment. So Lavra Lav B'Shnei Lavin. In a Chinami, it just comes to teach me two separate Lavin. V'lukma b'ribis v'na v'lavar olav b'shnei lavin. Why don't you say Lo Sigzal comes to teach me an isra of ribis or an isra of ona'a, and it's coming to teach me shnei lavin by one of those yisurim? So davar olav me'nyano. Now, based on context, we know that it's not talking about ribis or ona'a. We know it's talking about kovish schar sachir, because u'binyana de sachir k'siv. It says it in regards to the inyan of sachir. Lo signovu de kasav rachmana lamali. Why does the Torah have to say lo signovu? Now, up until now, we discussed why it has to say an isra of gezel. Now we want to know why that's saying this of Lo Signovu. Says Rashi, very important on the third line, Lo Signov da Aseres Hadibros Lo Kami Bayalei. We're not asking why it has to say Lo Signov in the Aseres Hadibros. Da Asar Lagodim Nefashos Ukadamirim Sanhedrin. Because Gemara Sanhedrin darshins that the Lo Signov in the Aseres Hadibros is about Gonev Nefashos. It's not about stealing money. We want to know about stealing money, though. Why does the Torah have to say Lo Signovu to teach us that there's an issue of stealing money? Shouldn't we be able to derive that from Ribis and Ona'a? So it says, Umar Alicha Detanya, Lo Signov Al Menas Lemekat. You're not even allowed to steal just to annoy your friend. Even if you don't want to keep the money and you're just doing it to annoy him, you're not allowed to steal. Rav Zilberstein had a Shaila. A guy saw that someone else left his tefillin in an unguarded place where it could have easily been stolen or ruined or something. So he took his friend's tefillin, Reuven takes Shimon's tefillin, and he hides him somewhere. Shimon comes back and he can't find his tefillin, he's all upset, he doesn't know what happened to his tefillin, and Reuven finally says to him, after he lets him, schwitz for a little bit, he says to him, look, I took your tefillin and I hid them from you, just to show you that if you leave them in an unguarded place like that, it's going to be bad for your tefillin, you're going to lose your tefillin, so I wanted to teach you a lesson. So is that mutter or is that not mutter? Is that gonev al menas lemekat? So he points out there's a machlok, there's a discussion in the Rishonim over here. Shittim Kvetzes raises the issue, maybe gonev al menas lemekat is only if you actually intend on keeping it. It's just the chiddush of gonev al menas lemekat is that you don't care about keeping it, but not if you intend on returning it. Maybe if you intend on returning it, that's not a violation of gonev al menas lemekat. Plus, he says, it's also possible that you were doing a mitzvah, because the tefillin was left in an unprotected place, and you went and you put it in a protected place. So at that moment, it's a mitzvah. You let him sit in Shvitz, but you're not doing any Maisa Gneva at that time. You're just being mean, but you're not doing any Maisa Gneva at that time. So it could be that, plus, he says, a mechanech may have responsibility to teach. If he was a mechanech, he may have responsibility to teach about the importance of protecting tefillin. So he thought it was mutter in that case. Anyway, but in general, just to steal in order to annoy a person is not mutter. That's what the Yisra of Lo Signov was there in the Torah for. Lo Signov al menas l'shalem tashlumei kefel. There's also an Yisra of Lo Signov, even when it's al menas l'shalem tashlumei kefel. Shekel, let's say you want to pay somebody, you want to give somebody money, you know he needs the money, but he would never accept it from you. I don't need your money, he doesn't want to take it from you. So what do? You come up with a chachma. You steal from him so that you could be chayv to pay him kefel, and then you'll have given him money. So you're trying to do a chesed, you're trying to do something very, very nice. Nevertheless, the Torah says you're not allowed to steal even al manas to pay back kefel. Why does the Torah have to have a separate lav in regards to weights? So isn't that just included in stealing? Comes to teach me that a person should not stick his weights in salt. What does it accomplish if you put your weights in salt? So says Rashi, it makes the weights heavier when you put it in salt. And if you use your weights to purchase things, right, we're assuming that we're using the buyer's weights, not the seller's weights, because if it's seller's weights, he would have to be a fool to make him heavier. So we want to use if the buyer goes and uses the heavier weights, he's going to end up with more produce for the money. So that's the issue to make your weights heavier. So frak the Gemara, hainu gezel ma'al yehu. What are you talking about? That's mamish gezel to make your weights heavier. It happens to be the Tosfos Rashi understands that when you put in a melach, the salt is going to eat away at it a little bit and it's going to become lighter. Not that it's going to become heavier. And then you'd have to say it's on the mocher, right? The mocher's weights. But anyway, says Gemara, either way, that's stealing. That's not a new iser of Mishkalosov. So he says, no, lavel of mishas asiya. It is a new iser because the iser starts when you make the weights, even if you don't actually use them. Just making weights that are not fair and not just, that alone is an iser, even if you don't use it. The Cheshek Shlomo on the back of the Gemara over here is bothered. He says, if you look in the Rambam, Perek Zayin Milch Kneva, Alacha Gimel, Hamashe Bebeso O Bechanuso Mida Chaseira, Over Belo Sase. He says that if someone who keeps in his house unfair weights is in violation of a lo sase. Says the Cheshek Shlomo Vadover Tumua. Why do you need a pasuk to tell me that you're in violation of a lo sase when you make the weights? The second you make it, you've kept it in your house. You're already in violation of a lo sase for keeping it in your house. He leaves there's a little bit of a tzarchi, and he says maybe the Rambam made a different girsa in this Gemara because it doesn't make sense that there should be one iser to make it and then another iser to keep it in your house. I mean, either way, if you just have the iser to keep it in your house, the second you make it, you've already violated the iser of keeping it in your house. Anyway, but this seems to be included in the iser of having an avla, anything that you're able to cheat somebody with in your house. Tan Rabbanan, lo sasu avol b'mishpat b'mido mishkol b'masura. B'mido zu medidas karka. B'mido means that you can't cheat in terms of measuring land. Sholi yimdol lechad b'masacham, lechad b'masacchamim. You can't measure for one guy when you're dividing Yerusha during the winter months and another guy during the summer months. Why not? Because the rope, the measuring rope that you use, depending on the moisture in the air, may become more taut or may have a little more give to it. So depending on the season of the year, it will measure differently when you use the measuring rope. So if you're using the same measuring rope, you can't measure for one guy during the winter, one guy during the summer. V'mishkol shaliyatma mishkolosu b'melech. V'mishkol tells me you can't stick your weights in salt. V'mishura shaliyatiyach. That you can't, when you pour something, like when you pour a beer or a soda where it gets bubbly at the top, that you can't cheat through that. You have to let it simmer a little, pour it slowly so that you have the exact measurement. So if we're talking about such a tiny amount, and nevertheless the Torah's makbid that even in tiny liquid measures you shouldn't allow it to frost over at the top. All the more so when you have larger liquid measures that you shouldn't allow it to frost at the top and thereby cheat the guy. Why does the Torah say, mention Yitzias Mitzrayim by all halachos, by the halach of ribbis? Why mention Yitzias Mitzrayim of all places by ribbis? Yitzias Mitzrayim gavei tzitzis, and by tzitzis, Yitzias Mitzrayim b'mishkalos, and by weights. He says, the same Ribon Shalom, who is able to distinguish between who was a Bechor and who was not a Bechor in Mitzrayim, is able to distinguish when you claim that you're lending on behalf of a guy, and that's why you're charging ribbis, and in reality you're charging for yourself ribbis. this. I know what's really going on in your business practices, the Ribbono Shel Olam says. Umisha tomin mishkolos b'melech, and I know whether your weights are honest weights or not honest weights. Umimisha tola klayilon b'bigdov amr tcheles, who, and I know when you hang klayilon on your tzitzis instead of a real tcheles, you hang the counterfeit tcheles on your tzitzis. I know that it's a counterfeit tcheles, even though it's chemically identical, perhaps, and it looks exactly the same as the tcheles. Says Tosos, V'afagav da overal mitzvah tzitzis, mikol makom isra kral avrala mishas tliya. Do I really need a separate isra over here? It's usher anyway, because you're not being the kind of mitzvah of tzitzis. So he says, yeah, inochinami, but it's a separate emphasis to tell me that even when you first put it on the bag, and even if you don't use it, you're in violation of an isra. So a lot of discussion on what Tosos really means by that, but we'll have to leave it aside for now. Ravina iklu the sur de paras, Ravina went to sur de paras. Amalei Rav Chanina misur de paras Ravina, itzias misayim de katsu rachman agabi shratzim lamali. Why does the Torah say itzias misayim in regard to shratzim? Amalei Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani hu shev chanti ben tipa shel b'char, tipa shein shel b'char, ani yasal de paras misham arif kirvi dagum tmein, v'kirvi dagum tahor makal Yisrael. I can tell the difference between a b'char and non b'char. I can tell when people are sticking treif of fish guts into kosher fish guts and selling it as kosher. Amalei ani hamala kakashali. He says, no, what I was bothered is why the word hamala merits of shratzim is supposed to have motzi. So Maishna Hacha Mala the Kasav Rachmana. Why Dafka by Shrasim does it say Mala? I'm Leah the Tanda Beir Bishmal. Tanda Beir Bishmal. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. Il Mali Alesi. It's Shalom in Mitzrayim. El Bishvil Davar Zeh. Shein Mitam Shrasim. Daya. It's just. It's worth it to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim just so that they don't have to be Mitam Bishrasim. I'm Leah. Me Nafsh Grayt Fame Ribbis Umitzitzis Umimishkalos. What is Shrasim something they get more schar for than Ribbis and Tzitzis and Mishkalos? Even though you don't get more schar, but it's more disgusting. So since it's more disgusting to eat the shratzim, the Ribbono Shel Olam says it was worth it to take them out of Mitzrayim just so that they don't do such a disgusting, despicable thing, such as eating shratzim. Okay, we'll pick up tomorrow at the two dots.